Welcome to Grab Bearcast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Did you just ask for a what? What?
Huh?
No. No. Hey, Wells, what's happening?
Oh, same stuff as yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
No. Completely different stuff.
Okay. Fair enough.
Same stuff as today. Hello.
Hello.
Keep up, Josh.
Man.
Yeah. Like your shirt.
Thank you. It's a cool shirt. I bought a bunch of cool shirts. Like the shirt that I wore Saturday got comments, and now this shirt.
Oh, is it laundry time again?
Yeah. So Wells and I did something, but Jeff, have you done anything beer wise since we last recorded?
I'm trying to think of where did we even do the last time we recorded?
I know it feels like it's been forever. Just dear listener, you know, life has kind of gone a little crazy. So we're not like pre-recording episodes anymore. It's just, we're kind of shuffling recordings different days.
Did we record before I went to Indiana? I feel like we recorded before I went to Indiana.
I think
right?
So.
Yeah. So,
time?
Just here recently.
Gotcha.
So I was in Indiana, doing some family stuff, and then went out with a couple buddies to you've been to the Gerst House? Wells?
To what?
Have you been to the Gerst House? You went to the Gerst House, right?
What's the Gerst House?
In Evansville. It's that German restaurant.
No, I went to...
Oh, you were at Damsel's across the
That's
street.
Great.
Right. Okay, so at any rate, you know, Nilo German Beer Hall, they didn't have some pretty interesting stuff on tap. It's not uncommon for me to go in there and get, like, Revolution Deepwood beers there. Yeah.
Like you
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
You know.
And didn't have any this time, but I did get, I asked for the barrel-aged Surly Darkness. Ooh. And she's like, do you want that in a mug or a fishbowl? And I said,
whoa, fishbowl me baby.
I'm like, yes, please. Let's go. I'm like, actually, I'll just take a mug. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Holy
you
cow.
Quitter.
Well, you know, did I have a second one? I had another beer. I don't know. It was a good time.
Fair
you
enough.
Know, just hanging out with some old bros and just... chilling and Surly Barrel Aged Darkness, as one does
in a fishbowl.
Oh, you know
be.
What? I'll tell you what the other one I had was the most recent Stone Anniversary Double IPA, and I was remarkably surprised.
Huh?
It was actually quite good.
I didn't even know they were still making those.
I didn't either, but there it was, and I'm like, you know what? I'll try that. And she brought. I'm like, yes, I'll have that. I'm glad I did. It was good.
I'll be damned. Wells, besides our little jaunt the other day, have you done anything else beer related? I mean, it's not like we did anything exciting. We just went to a couple of breweries, but like you sometimes get on cool misadventures. So
I know, my misadventures are, who knows, I might get into something fun this week while I'm down in Charleston.
True.
But other than that, no, not really.
Okay. And I mean, we didn't do like anything crazy exciting, just went to DB and Burial.
Hmm.
Although, and I want to save some of our talk for next episode because of one of the articles. And I will say maybe because the weather was nice, but there was a shit ton of people at both breweries.
Cool.
So
it's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love to see it.
They were good and packed.
I love to see it when I'm wrapping up, at least. You know,
yeah, exactly.
I don't enjoy walking in and going, oh, wow, this whole place is crowded.
Although I will say that was our experience at Divine was, oh, wow, there's a lot of fucking people here. Can we
Which
sit
is,
outside?
That's not the norm for Divine. It seems like most of the times I get there, like there may be a good crowd outside if the weather's nice, but it's very rarely that packed. But then it seems like I don't know if they're catching steam or what's
going
on.
Well, and I do wonder, too, kind of to your point where so we didn't leave until like 1-ish. So it was probably, what, 3-ish?
You got
before
the brunch
we got,
crowd.
Yeah. Before Divine, so that could be a big chunk of it, too. Absolutely. All right, so on to the news.
Oh. Yes. Actually, I'll save it for next show. Never mind.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
Oh!
I'll save it for next show.
Cool.
To be continued.
Elysian is, like, completely gone.
Well, not completely.
Almost. Well, they're laying off 90 people.
Yeah.
They are closing most of their brew pubs and brewing facilities, and some of the common stuff like Space Dust is now going to be brewed at other AB facilities.
And honestly, with as much money as we've seen being pumped into upfitting a lot of these AB breweries across the country, this should not be a shock and surprise at all. Like, it's just more efficient to brew Space Dust in these gigantic, massive batches than, like...
Right.
You know, eking out. I mean, I'm sure their brew pub or brew house is of a robust size at Elysian, but still, this. I'm shocked. Well, not that shocked.
Maybe not that shocked.
Well, and I was going to say, too, I mean, it also goes to the point of by the time we could get Elysian here, they had already sold out. Yeah, it was already under the AB umbrella. And so, I mean, I've tried Space Dust. I think we all have. But it wasn't anything to write home about. Like, it was a beer.
It was a big deal pre-buyout because there just wasn't much like it out there. It was maybe not the kind of beer that you're going to buy cases and cases of and ship it across the United States.
Right.
But yeah, like it definitely was a really good beer. And, you know, it wasn't the buyout that changed it, but we kind of stepped away from it. But then everybody kind of caught up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that happens to a lot of these beers.
Yeah, that's true. So
outsourcing production and laying off production staff, and it's definitely a raw deal, but.
Yeah, I mean, as always, this sucks for the employees. We will forever say that, even though, you know, this is a big AB facility or whatever you want to call it. It still sucks for the local folks because they did not make this decision. You know, they didn't. They were just numbers on a spreadsheet, and that sucks.
For sure.
So, speaking of Stone... They have decided to kind of peel back from doing their big, I guess if you want to call it, international push that they've been doing, and they are now focused on the U.S. again.
Almost. This news actually shocks me.
Why?
Because, again, new owners of Stone, Sapporo, since, what, September 2022, you know, they're a foreign-based company. But they acquired Stone and have done a lot of upfits and things to make the flagship Sapporo at both the Richmond and the Escondido, California brewing facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got all this production space. Like, are we really, like, going to cut off a leg of a multi-pronged distribution strategy like this? I'm kind of... Like, are you guys just making so much Sapporo domestically that you don't have, like, that additional capacity to send beer overseas? Or, I don't know.
Or is international markets just softening? Getting lukewarm on Stone?
Could be.
Well, and you know, too, we're not the only place that has discerning drinkers that don't want to drink an IPA that's 6 months old. So... By the time, you know, some of that shit might get over there, it could be 6+ months old. And then it just sits there and it gets older and older and older. I mean, I will never forget being in the DR and seeing some beer over there. It was like over a year old that was an IPA. And you just had to drink it.
They've got Harris Teeters there?
Yeah, pretty much. Cool. That's what it felt like. But you didn't have a choice. If you wanted beer and you wanted an IPA, you just had to suck it up, Buttercup, and that's what you were drinking. So I also do wonder if that's a big part of it, is that some of this stuff just gets shipped out there and then it just sits on these shelves. And yes, granted, you know, I don't know if Stone Sapporo has any type of a buyback program. I have no idea. Doubt they do, but...
I mean, good luck. If it's shipped halfway across the world, I'm not bringing that back.
Yeah.
No way. It's not worth it to me.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. It's just, I think it's interesting that a domestic company that is making beer over here instead of importing it from Japan is no longer going to be exporting beer.
It's an interesting, for sure.
I mean, again, interesting, but like I said, I don't know. To me, not all that surprising, especially after, you know, Stone Germany went completely tits up and... Everything else, it's like they've tried so many times, and it just doesn't work.
So, you know, it almost makes me wonder, for all of the pomp and circumstance that Greg Kukocuk, whatever, pushed forth on everyone, maybe he overestimated his actual place, you know, in the market.
Yeah.
We're making this assumption that, you know, he's making smart choices to... go into Germany because Germany actually wants their beer, and maybe Germany doesn't.
Exactly. Maybe they don't care. This one kind of came out of nowhere and kind of surprised the hell out of me, but Lord Hobo is merging with Lone Pine Brewing under a... Take a guess of how this is happening.
Lord Pine? Lone Hobo?
It's happening through our good friend private equity.
That makes sense.
Yep. So private equity, apparently unbeknownst to me, Lord Hobo, a private equity firm is at stake in Lord Hobo since they kind of started pushing their way out. Like,
did we not talk about...
We might have.
I feel like we had a conversation about Lord Hobo at one point.
Oh, there was an article out a couple months ago about how they basically grew up to be like one of the hottest beer brands and then blew themselves up.
Is that what happened? Because, I mean, yeah. I can remember, like, Boom Sauce and all that shit hitting the market, and mm-hmm. then it just, nothing.
Yep.
Went away completely. Or, like, OOJ, which is Lone Pine, I'd seen their stuff a few times around here. Not all of those beers, but I know I've seen OOJ a few times, or OJ a few yep. times. So, yeah, private equity firm has basically decided we're going to put these two together, and let's see what happens.
Hooray. I just...
Good luck on
you. You know, like, private equity is such a weird thing. And, you know, if there's actual interest by the firm to grow a brand and make it do something, that's great. I feel like so many times it's this impatient, I have to get my payout in 2 years or I'm selling it.
Yep.
And I just feel like that's just such a shame for these businesses. I mean, sure, the owners get out with their money, but, man, that's just hard on everybody else.
It is.
Not a fan.
Well, I mean, something has to happen with the Lord Hobo brand, right? Like, is this there right off into the sunset?
Very possible.
As opposed to the, oh, you're still here?
Oh, I didn't know you were still here.
All right, Ferris.
All right, last but not least, FOBAB happened.
Finally, some good news.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's... I'm really, I found myself suddenly unemployed because I was really looking at doing FOBAB this year.
That's right. I thought you were.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to do FOBAB, and then there was then there was like a concert that night too, and like, oh wow, we could do like FOBAB and then go see a show and then just like do a wham bam thank you ma'am tour of Chicago and then... Suddenly, it was not very smart for me to go spend money when I don't know.
No.
So it's like, I know. So FOBAB 2025, book it, done. Let's go. But yeah, I did kind of scroll through these a little bit.
Okay.
And that one that Jeff pointed out, it did jump out to me from Firestone Walker, the Parambarana,
yeah.
which I'm assuming is Ambarana Barrel Aged Parabola.
Yes, please.
Did get some pretty good Chicago representation on this. Half Acre.
Yeah, Benthic is pretty solid.
Half Acre came up a lot. We had a couple from Off Color as well.
Okay.
But I don't know. These are like, 30th anniversary Lost Abbey Imperial Stout. Like, that sounds great.
And it also sounds like something you'll never have.
Yeah, probably not. But at least if these are...
Wow, that yellow text, I don't know about y'all, that is super hard to read for me.
Yep, not a fan.
I got all excited when I looked at one of these. I'm like, triple G. Oh, triple G.
G,
not
yeah.
C.
Yeah. Oh, there's your Half Acre Sun King. Okay, all right. Applejack Brandy Barrel Age Dark Beer. Okay, that looks good. Hey, look at there. Revolution Cherry Very Special Old Jacket. As it so happens... I might have a big can of that.
Oh, really?
But it's also like it's a stovepipe, which kind of feels like a lot for one show.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Screaming and Black Tuesdays.
Yeah, but like, yeah, you're right. You're right. We just have to like dial it back to be like a beer in one of those.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah,
absolutely fine.
And the other beer can't be another Black Tuesday.
No.
Okay.
No, it cannot. I mean, it could. I mean, anything's a dildo if you're brave enough, but that's a lot of damage.
But, like, Half Acre won.
Sorry, I'm just best scrolling. So.
Oh, you did?
No, I'm just scrolling. Like,
oh, yeah. I had funky beer for tacos when I was up. It's small.
I like that. There's another Firestone Walker.
Another Firestone Walker.
Pink guava and pineapple. I'd try that. That sounds good.
And for those that don't know, Wells, what is FOBAB, since we didn't actually explain what it was?
Oh, FOBAB, Festival of Barrel-Aged Beer. It's a bunch of different styles. I think at least a dozen different categories that beers can be entered in, but everything's just been aged in or on wood of some sort. So it's a bunch of different, like, it's going from the very delicate, you know, Brett beers to the super mega thunder dick kind of imperial stouts and barley wines and everything in between. So it's pretty cool. I honestly get excited when I see somebody winning medals for like GABF. So if I'm like going to go to another beer city and I'm like, kind of, what's my plan of attack? Have any breweries in that city won a FOBAB medal?
And I was going to say, I didn't notice, but no North Carolina breweries in this list, right?
None that I recognize by name.
I don't know. For all the beer that we have in North Carolina, I just don't. I struggle with finding anybody that really is consistently FOBAB material. Resident Culture, maybe?
Resident Culture's won a couple. They took Best in Show a couple years ago.
I could see Triple C maybe pulling it off, but there's just not a lot. It just isn't a focus. I don't think the market here supports that kind of beer.
True.
Screams Infanta Flora.
Oh, there you go.
Which, by the way, Jeff, I'm just putting this out to the universe now. Keep your calendar open for February-ish, because that's when Infanta Flora does their thing. And I'm pretty sure that Wells and I will be going again this year.
Oh, boy. I will be out in front, like, waiting 30 minutes before the doors open, because I am not dealing with that shit from last year.
Yeah, no shit. I will be right behind you, because that fucking sucked. I don't remember the exact date, but it's at the beginning-ish of February.
Just mark off February on your
calendar. Yeah, just mark it off. Just all February.
It's only 4 whole weeks. Did you know what? February 2025 starts on a Monday. Not on Monday. Sunday.
Whatever. Oh, really?
I remember seeing this. Cool. Whatever. Well, look, the whole thing just...
Cool story, bro.
I mean, February's all fucked up. It's the shortest month. It's weird. A lot of times, that's when it's the coldest months here in North Carolina.
It's not 2025. It's 2026. Oh. Sorry. Anyway, it's all on there.
That's okay.
Nobody really cares anyway.
No. Right. Okay, thank you. I'm glad you said it. I'm just like, I don't understand why we're tracking on this.
I mean, hey, news is short. It's getting towards the end of the year, which also, by the way, getting towards the end of the year also means our top 20 of 2020. Our top 10 of 2024 will be recorded here soonish. So if you do have your list and you want to kick those over, contact or hate mail at craftbeercast.com. We will read your list as long as it's not more than 10. It could just be a couple of beers. That'd be fine. If you want to send 10, we'll read all 10, but I ain't going over 10.
Yep.
Send more? Cool. You took the time to write them. Congratulations. You played yourself.
I've been doing a good job over the last couple of years of trying to keep a running list as the year goes on and not just scrambling in the last week of the year.
You mean like I do?
Exactly. But this year,
like, really, I literally just pull all the taps, right, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that one really stood out. Oh, yeah, that one really stood out.
Yeah. But sometimes, unfortunately, one of your top 10 beers of the year may be in the same lineup as.
Oh, absolutely. Else that's legitimately that good. That stupid salt and pepper beer from.
I know.
That beer is Monday making night. That beer is making my list, because that beer is fucking fun.
Yeah. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to be the best beers of the year. It's just the ones you thought were the most fun.
Exactly.
The ones you liked the most, yeah, or whatever.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah, what's the one that I legitimately could not get enough of?
Yeah.
And like 3 6 packs of a stupid salt and pepper pilsner just speak for itself.
By the way, so I saved that very last can for some brisket.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my that was really God, that went so well with a brisket.
I bet.
And then I somehow managed to luck into one more can.
Well, there you go.
Turner. So that will be my turkey beer.
My brother was asking me, hey, like, who in Charlotte, like, packages, like, craft beer in 12-ounce cans, and so I tossed him out a few options, and I guess he took me up on the Monday night thing because he came back with just some regular IPA and everything, but also like a couple of those salt and pepper pilsners. And nice. So here I'm at a 2-year-old's birthday party just chugging salt and pepper pilsner like, yeah.
Like you do?
Like I do.
All right, are we ready for break?
Yep. Sure.
We'll be back in 30. It's time for Buy No Buy. I'll explain how it works. It's pretty simple. We've been drinking beer throughout the show, and we have a very simple scale. Everything is a one or a zero. It is a buy or a no buy. Sometimes if you're like the coolest listener that we've ever had, Scott, and you like to donate beers, you can feel free to do so. Hit us up, contact craftbeercast.com. Speaking of, we are getting through the last of our fresh hop beers. So, Jeff, what's our first beer up?
First beer up tonight from Fort George in Astoria, Oregon. This is Consejo. A fresh hop Mexican style lager with Wilmette hops, courtesy of Goshi Farms. Limited edition collaboration with, man, I'm not even going to try to say that. I'm going to butcher that. A couple of Hispanic breweries, which I think is super cool. I really enjoyed this beer. I like the hops in it. Man, this one isn't quite as great as the fresh hop Tetanang Pilsner we had, but I would crush cases of this. Big buy. Wells?
I'm personally not a big fan of like the Mexican lager style. I think this is made incredibly well, and it's a great example of a style that I'm just not going to buy. So if somebody left like a six-pack of this at the house, yeah, I would absolutely crush it, but not maybe with my own money. So
if our D&D player wouldn't leave some of these over, you wouldn't be upset?
Oh, yeah.
Versus some of the other shit that he left over?
Oh, yeah. So I can talk about that in the next show, because I have put, they are almost all gone.
Holy shit. Okay.
It's not how you think, though.
So the nose on this is just fucking bizarrely grassy for what it is, and then you stop and think about, oh, it's a fresh hop, starts to make sense, and then you get that taste and you go, what happened to the hops? But then you think, oh, it's a Mexican lager. Okay, this all makes sense now.
It's Wilmette. It's not, you know,
yeah,
it's not Citra or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was a very big surprise. I had a vegetarian burrito for lunch, and man, I would have loved to have this with it, because
that'd been good.
That would have slapped.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll, big buy. Next beer up.
All right, next up from Wander Brewing in out of Bellingham, Washington. This is their Fresh Cassette Citra IPA featuring wet hops from Cornerstone Ranches in Yakima Valley. This is a perfectly pleasant fresh hop IPA. I'm not reaching for this one first. I'm not going to go crazy about it, but I don't hate it. I'd buy one.
Okay.
I'll technically buy it. Yeah,
okay.
That's fine. Wells?
Fresh hop hazy IPA made by a West Coast brewery. This is fantastic to me. It's everything that I look for in a hazy. It's lupulin without being too vegetal. I really enjoyed this. It is nice, easy drinking. This is a rock solid buy for me, because I am rock solid drinking it. Josh, what are you doing with it?
Absolutely love this. Big buy. Huge love. Much respect. I do feel like, especially with where we are in the fresh hop season and how long it's been,
right,
this one's kind of faded just a touch. It's not like faded in a bad way, but you can tell that there was something a little bit stronger there,
yeah,
that has just kind of mellowed out.
Yep.
But it's still fantastic, so absolute buy. Next beer up.
Next beer up from Everybody's Brewing.
Are we?
Somebody is.
This is called Head Stash. Fresh Hop IPA. Simcoe. Yeah. I don't know. This one tastes weird. I was checking the date on this. It is it's 9 weeks old, so a little over 2 months. I don't know, man. This one doesn't, something's not right here for me, so I'm gonna no buy. Well,
tastes like a lightly oaked buttery Chardonnay.
Oh, there we go.
Yep. Very winey. A taste of a little diacetyl kick for me. I could not finish my first sample and poured it out. This was gross. So, no buy. Josh.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't help of the one that I just drank, the beer, that just kind of went, reset my palate almost completely. Mm-hmm. And then I go back to this and I go, there's just nothing here. Okay. This is like a ghost of a beer. Like, it's disembodied. I don't get it. There's just nothing here. So, no buy. Can you dump that for me, please? That's the dump buckets over there. Hold on. Oh, dude, look, man. You're right there. The dump bucket's so much further away, and you're about to pour a new beer.
You could ask Wells to do it.
I guess I could have. You're right. My bad, Jeffrey. I am so sorry. I apologize. Hmm. Okay. I love you.
Okay, good.
All right, next beer up.
Next beer up from Lumberbeard, a collaboration with Uprise. It's called Lupulin Lounge, a fresh hop juicy IPA featuring freshly harvested Simcoe. It has this sort of smooth element to it that kind of reminds me a little bit of Single Hill. Maybe they're rubbing off on Lumberbeard, which I'd be completely okay with. But then again, I love most of what Lumberbeard puts out anyway. I really like this beer. I would buy more of this. Big buy. Wells?
I also would buy more of this beer. It is smooth. I think this is a spiritual cousin of that fresh cassette. And how offensive it is, it's made also with Simcoe hops, but I just could not get into that last one. So anyway, I really enjoyed this. And I mean, it's Lumberbeard. Shocker. Big buy. Josh, what you doing?
I'm going to propose to Lumberbeard.
You should.
As long as they're cool with being polyamorous. I love Lumberbeard. Man, they're just nailing it.
Josh, are you just looking at Lumberbeard beers and saying you love them? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I am, but this is another one. It is almost close, in my opinion, from what we've had through what, 5 shows of Fresh Hops?
At least.
I feel like Single Hill and Lumberbeard are like neck and neck of like when that Pacific Northwest trip happens. It's not just like
those are the two, and you'll fit in Bailbreaker if you can manage it.
Oh no,
it's right down the street.
Yeah, Bailbreaker will happen too. But I'm saying like
those are the two you're excited about.
Though. That is not just I'm going to the tap room with Wells for an afternoon. That is I'm here. I have traveled this far. We're fucking camping out and hanging out all day drinking.
You can go over across the street, get you a bag of dicks, and then walk over to Lumberbeard. And
yep. I mean, holy shit! They just constantly nailing it. It's absolutely insane to me. All right, final beer up.
That's right. In a little bit of a bittersweet moment, let's have a moment of silence here for my last Russian River small batch intinction.
Oh.
So this was from Small Batch Series from 2020. This is their intinction Pinot Noir. 100% carbonic maceration.
What did you call me?
Yeah, that's right, baby.
What? I've got to look this up. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Russian River Valley Appalachian Pinot Noir grapes fermented by way of carbonic maceration, which is whole cluster fermentation. So I guess they just threw like whole bunches of grapes in.
I mean, when you think of maceration, that is typically like marinating a fruit. So you're just throwing a bunch of fucking CO2 at a fruit. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't care. This is amazing. It is fantastic. It is everything I wanted it to be and more. I am not a wine drinker, but I would. I'm glad I'm not. I don't have easy access to these.
Would you eat some stinky cheese with this beer? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know about stinky cheese, but like, give me some brie with this.
Okay.
Like a good salty, like soft cheese would be good with this. Mm, love it. Big buy. Wells?
I can't even make any jokes about big and salty and soft, but this is excellent and wonderful and everything that I expect from Russian River. I Don't know anything about carbonic maceration either, so I've got some reading material to do when I get home.
Today he learned.
How can you have something with like that's so acidic and bright, but also like full and tannic and oh god, this is.
And it's almost 10%. And like I mean, you know,
are you fucking kidding me?
Not at all.
Jesus.
I know.
I'm drinking this going like, oh yeah, this is, you know, just a nice and light, you know, like
8.96%,
maybe 6.5%. No, it's 9.86.
It is no wonder my wife gets white girl wasted off of wine. Because, I mean, when you...
That's exactly what this is. That's not what this is, Josh.
I know, but when you stop and think about like most wines are 10 to 14%.
Yeah.
So, it is no wonder. Like, because to your point, I had no fucking clue. I felt like this was maybe 5, 6.
Because you're so used to that with a wild ale. Like, the wild ales don't tend to carry a heavy ABV, and this one just, I don't know where it's hiding it, but...
Have you checked underneath the seat cushions? It's great. This is a wonderful beer. Yeah. Thank you. Josh, what you doing?
Yeah, big thank you. Like, holy shit. This is definitely a slow play. Like, I, you know, so just kind of behind the scenes, we do our pours, and then quickly as we get to each beer, Jeff does a fresh pour of each beer. I am literally almost chugging back to back to back all those fresh hop beers. This beer has kind of sat behind, like it sat in front of me. I've let it open up. I've just been slow playing it because this is not a chuggable thing at all. But this drinks like a dream.
But at the same time, I mean, you would never do this on purpose, right? But I could totally see pouring this into a big glass and forgetting what it is and just taking a big old hit off of it and being like, that's good. I'll take some more. And, you know, you'd be absolutely wasting the beer.
Yeah,
but
you would be. I feel like this one almost does need to be treated with, I guess, I hate saying it, but treated with kid gloves of this needs to be respected and appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Wholeheartedly.
Like, this is not a, I'm going to slam it back. I'm going to let it open up. I'm going to enjoy every fucking ounce of it. How expensive was this?
This one was... It was.
Okay.
Because this is the small batch from 2020.
I was going to say, this feels like it's a pricey one, but...
Yeah. All of the small batch ones I brought were like that. But I knew kind of going into it... I can't remember where I had my first intinction, but maybe I saw Market checked one in, and I'm like, well, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
And then I saw the red wine barrels, and I'm like, okay... And then
I mean, for you and I specifically, this does not seem like a beer either of us would, at least me for sure. You, I don't typically see you buying something like this.
No. But again, knowing what I was getting myself into, because I think maybe Scott had sent me an intinction or something like that. I had one and I knew I liked it.
Yeah.
And so then when I was there at the brewery, I'm like, I'll take one of those and one of those and one of those. And I wish I could go back and get more of the, I'll call it the red wine barrel-aged versions, like this Pinot Noir, and there was another one that we had a month or so back that was also a red wine, and maybe it was a cab, you know, like just excellent, and it, you know, and it just goes to show, like, Vinny's background in, you know, working for Korbel and having kind of that wine influence. And then that migrating into beer, like it's just great.
Yeah,
it's just so great.
Absolutely. All right. So of course, all that gushing. I'm going to buy this. It's time for I had to tap that. It's pretty simple. Out of the beers that we had on the show, what would you put on your real or supposed kegerator? So Jeff, where are you going, man?
I don't know how in the world I would ever drink a keg of this small batch intinction, but I want the small batch intinction.
All right.
Like I don't care if I have to replace my lines several times over the course of the area that I have the keg. I want more of it. I like the Lupulin Lounge. I like the Consejo. The Fresh Cassette was good too, but I'm going to be remembering that small batch for a while.
Fair enough.
Well,
Royals.
I would absolutely rip through a sixth of that Fresh Cassette. I'm getting the intention. There's no question about that. That can stay on tap as long as it needs to, even if I'm just pouring a 6 ounce wine glass of that every single day and savoring every single damn sip. That was delicious. Josh, what you doing?
Fresh Cassette, me baby.
Woo!
That was fantastic. And You know, again, it's not like I gushed all over this Intinction, so it's not like it's a bad beer. It's just not something I could realistically go back to multiple times.
Yeah, I can't imagine you drinking through all of that, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not. All right, so Jeff, we're at the end of the show. Where are we at?
Come check us out on the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com. Find links to our old episodes. You can find links to our Facebook, facebook.com/craftbeercast. You can go to reddit.com/craftbeercast. You can go check out Elon's X.com platform, the harbinger of free speech, and you can find us at CBcast there, or drop us an email, contact@craftbeercast.com. Wells, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, and I'm still trying to figure out what Blue Sky is, but at all the Wells. Josh, where can they find you besides right there?
Besides right here, go ahead. Well, Jeff already said the subreddit. So rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice. Tell a friend, tell somebody you've been listening to our brand of jackassery for all of these years. And we'll talk to you all next Thursday.